निरंतर रात्रि दिन विरह उन्मादे हास्य कांदे नाची गाय परमा विषादे। This is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 1, Text 52. In the attitude of separation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared mad both day and night. Sometimes he laughed and sometimes he cried. Sometimes he danced and sometimes he chanted in great sorrow. Ye kale korena Jagannath darshan, mane bhave Kurukshetre phanache milan. At those times, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would visit Lord Jagannath. Then his feelings exactly corresponded to those of the gopis when they saw Krishna at Kurukshetra after long separation. Krishna had come to Kurukshetra with his brother and sister to visit. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When Krishna was performing yajna, sacrifice, at Kurukshetra, he invited all the inhabitants of Vrindavan to come see him. When Krishna was performing yajna, sacrifice, at Kurukshetra, he invited all the inhabitants of Vrindavan to come see him. Lord Chaitanya's heart was always filled with separation from Krishna. But as soon as he had the opportunity to visit the Jagannath temple, he became fully absorbed in the thoughts of the gopis who came to see Krishna at Kurukshetra. Om Gyan Timidandasya Gyan Anjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudhapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Bitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna.
most honored and grateful and happy to be with you at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Thank you. I'm taking the time and exerting the precious and valuable moments that Krishna has given you in this human form of life to come this morning to be together at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. Today, just getting off an airplane from Mumbai, I have been assigned to speak on the highest topics in all of spiritual existence. We are reading from Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In this chapter 1, we are reading from, could everyone hear? In this chapter 1, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is giving a synopsis of the Madhya Lila and Antya Lila of the Lord. In the Adi Lila, he has, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has elaborately explained who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just this morning before coming here, I was listening to a recording of our Srila Prabhupada. It was a room conversation. Srila Prabhupada was saying how today people of India, they think they know Krishna because they know about the Ras Lila. He said they may know that they know about the Ras Lila, but they don't know about Krishna. Who is Krishna? Before we can truly understand and awaken the realizations that are the purpose of Krishna performing his pastimes, it is important we understand who Krishna is, who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. So at the very beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami goes into great details to establish, quoting from various authorized scriptures, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Absolute Truth. He who the impersonalists call the all-pervading Brahman, who the yogis are searching after at Paramatma, the Lord within the heart, who the bhaktas are striving to awaken love for as Bhagavan, that same truth, who is approached by many people in many ways, has appeared as Lord Chaitanya. And then he describes more intimately that that one Supreme Absolute Truth is eternally one, but has become two. And when we say has become two, by our worldly experience, we think in terms of chronology. That has everything has a beginning, everything's maintained for some time, and everything goes away. That's the only experience of everything in this world. So how to describe the infinite, the eternal, and the absolute in words that can be comprehended by people who only have worldly experience? And even spiritual explanations are generally so theoretical. And the biggest problem, or let us say one of the biggest problems, is when we think we know, because we have all this theoretical information and knowledge, even from authorized sources, we think we know. But Krishna tells in Gita, there's jnana and there's vijnana. There's knowing, and there's actual knowing. What is the difference? One is having the right information, and the other is actually realizing, understanding. Like the difference between having a good roadmap and actually going to that place and arriving and seeing the destination and seeing everything between the point we began and reaching of our destination. And Srila Prabhupada being so practical. Sometimes he will translate vijnana as realization, direct experience, darshan, seeing. Srila Prabhupada would tell us on behalf of the great acharyas that you could actually see God face to face, hear him speaking, and speak. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami pudi yogam tam yena mamopayantate. That for one who is devoted and worships me with love, I give the understanding by which they could come to me. So Krishna reciprocates with our love. So sometimes Prabhupada would translate or explain vijnana as being practical, which is something that oftentimes philosophers forget about, and even devotee philosophers. We have so much information and we can defeat so many arguments, but then to practically apply this information in our life, in the way we speak, the way we act, the way we think, the way we relate with other people, devotees, humans, animals and other species, the way we interact with Krishna's creation, that everything's Krishna's property, and everything has its perfection and you being utilized in loving service. One of the great emphasis of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the teachings of our acharyas is that vijnana means the practical application of the knowledge we have to see how Krishna is in everyone. Because everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. Suhridam sarva bhutanam. Brahma bhuta prasanatmana sochati na kankshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. What are the qualities of a person who has attained this Brahma bhuta, the state of spiritual enlightenment? Such a person is no longer selfishly oriented. Nasochati nakankshati is not hankering for things and not lamenting over things of this world. And when one has such a pure selfless heart, suhridam sarvabhutanam, then one sees that one becomes a well-wishing friend of all living beings. Suhridam, from the heart, a true well-wishing friend, sarva bhutanam, not just of one class of people from one particular place, of one particular philosophy. Bhutanam, sarva, all living beings. So to the degree this is the way we think, this is the way we see, this is the way we live, to that degree we're actually Krishna conscious. In other words, we're seeing Krishna. We're seeing Krishna. We see his energy in such a way that we remember him. And we see all living beings in such a way that we remember him. And then the next phase of this verse from Bhagavad Gita is that when we are free of hankering and lamenting, and we're able to actually see everyone with equal vision, this Brahma-Bhuta state, mag-bhakti-labhate-param, then we engage in Krishna's loving service with devotion. That's the culmination, to serve with love. That is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins his instructions to Sri Sanatan Goswami on the banks of the river Ganga in Varanasi. Most extensive teachings that Lord Chaitanya has revealed to the world is to Sanatan Goswami. Throughout the day, for 2 months, he instructed Sanatan Goswami. He invested within Sanatana Goswami all the knowledge and realizations by which he and the Goswamis could share with the world. Whatever Lord Chaitanya gave to his devotees, he expected them and empowered them to give that to others. And Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Netyadas. This is how his teachings were established, the foundation that every living being is an eternally a loving servant of Krishna. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is telling how the absolute truth is one, but become two forever. To become forever. To become something where there's no beginning and no end is something the rational mind cannot really figure out. And that's where the heart of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the scriptures in their heart and essence is that this knowledge can only be revealed to one by Krishna himself. The actual understanding. Samsidhir Hari Toshanam. When Krishna's pleased, that's really all there is. We find so many examples of the Yajnapatnis, the Brahmins' wives in Vrindavan. They were not great scholars, their husbands were, but they had the highest realizations. The Brahmins didn't, because they pleased. That fruit vendor that came to Gokul, living in the forest with some fruits to sell, she had no education, she had no caste, nothing that was considered respectable in those days. But she had the greatest realizations of Krishna because she pleased Krishna. And of course we have Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, who were the greatest scholars, philosophers in the entire world. And they also realized Krishna, not because of their scholarship, but because they used their scholarship to please Krishna. King Pratapa Rudra. He was so wealthy, so powerful, so famous. But that was not a qualification. But because he used all of that in the mood of a simple street sweeper to please Krishna, he was given an unrealization. So Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he wants to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha's supreme love. Sri Radha is the supreme lover, the ashraya, the abode of love. And Krishna's the vishaya, the supreme object of love. So the object of love wants to taste the sweetness that is experienced by the lover. And he becomes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he could do that in the spiritual world. He comes to this material world once in a day of Brahma. That's approximately 8,400,000,000 years. That's hard for us to calculate. He comes once in this way as the Yugavatar. Not only to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha Rani's love and the happiness she feels when she tastes the sweetness of his love. The happiness, the supreme happiness that he's searching to experience Radha's happiness. But he comes in the age of Kali Yuga by his own free choice to give everyone the opportunity to have this love, to share this love. Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya descends with his associates to plunder the storehouse of love of God, which is so secret. Krishna revealed the sweetness of the love of Vrindavan, the love of Sri Radha and the gopas and the gopis. But as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar, Advaita and Srivas and their associates, he's come to give us the chance to enter into those pastimes. They did not consider who is fit or who is unfit, which place is appropriate and which place is inappropriate, which time was auspicious and which time was inauspicious. And generally, we find in people who are very orthodox in their understanding of Vedas, and for that matter, in most religions, those who are very orthodox, the time and the place and the situation and auspiciousness, everything's very, very important. And it actually is. But Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they transcended, they bypassed all of that. They were willing to give the highest perfections of life. Krishna, as Sri Radha, is willing to share the love of her heart with people without considering the time, without considering the place, without considering the qualifications or disqualifications of the people. Parama karuna pahundui jana nitai goru chandra. They are supremely compassionate. This word karuna, compassion. Parama, supremely compassionate. Bhaja bhaja bhai chaitanya nitai sudrita vishashakori. Vishayachadiya serase majiya muke bolo hari hari. If we just sincerely, earnestly, honestly receive their message and share with others, Mahaprabhu, more and more
gives this great treasure. So in the Adi Lila, this is the first principle, very, very philosophically, logically, scripturally. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami establishes who is Lord Chaitanya. Krishna himself, in his most Namo Mahabhara Nyaya Krishna Prema Patayate. Krishna himself, who appears more merciful than Krishna, more magnanimous than Krishna. This is something we have to just accept with faith. How could Krishna be more merciful than Krishna? How can the origin of everything, Krishna tells in Gita, aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. I remember many years ago, I was in Kurukshetra at Jyotisar, the place where there's a banyan tree, and under this banyan tree, 5 millennia passed, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. That place is still there. And for a fact, Sripad Shankaracharya, long ago, established deities of Krishna and Arjuna there, on chariot. So we had a small group of devotees, and sitting under that same tree was His Holiness Mahavishnu Swami, who used to live here in London, the one who has departed from this world, and myself and a few devotees. And he spoke with so much enthusiasm and emotion from this verse, aham sarvasya prabhavo, where Krishna tells, I am the source of all spiritual and all material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. He gave such a beautiful, eloquent explanation of how so much is in this verse. So it's essential. So how is this? These very sweet, esoteric, apparent contradictions are like nectar to the soul. How could the origin of everything that exists not have something that somebody else has? Arivo. That's what Rupa Goswami is telling us, and Swarup Ramadhar Goswami, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Srila Prabhupada, and all these acharyas, they're telling us that Krishna is supremely the merciful. He's the cause of all causes, sarva karana karanam. He's the origin of everything that exists, material and spiritual. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, he's the source of all incarnations of Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha, he's the supreme Lord of all lords. Every incarnation of Krishna is Krishna, but is manifesting only partial of Krishna's opulences. But he's Swayam Bhagavan. The whole, the supreme, complete whole, manifesting everything. But then we read that Lord Chaitanya is more magnanimous and more merciful even than Krishna. How is that possible? Because that's the way Krishna wants to do it. Krishna doesn't like just dull, a dull understanding. His leelas in Vrindavan, his leelas in Vaikuntha, they are ever increasing. At every moment, he's more beautiful to his devotees than he was the moment before. And this is going on for all of eternity. Hare Krishna. Krishna can give you everything and still eternally be giving you more. Does that mean he didn't give you everything already? No, it means he's Krishna. Achintya Shakti. He has inconceivable, incomprehensible potencies. And the highest of all his potencies, the deepest and the most mysterious, is the potency of his Ladini Shakti, the love between he and his devotees. And Sri Radha is the supreme Ladini Shakti. So Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya, is giving freely without discrimination these most mysterious, intimate leelas of love and entrance into them. And of all times, in the age of Kali, where people are the most unqualified. If we read about the histories of how people lived in Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, their lifespan, their memory span, their piety, the atmosphere and environment around them, anyone in Satya Yuga who was sincere could sit for 60,000 years in meditation. It just took sincerity, that's all. 60,000 years without eating, without sleeping. Haribol. So if we think we're qualified, if we think, just see how I can fast on a codicil and I can chant so many... and I can chant so many rounds, and I can play so many melodies and ragas and kirtan. What are we compared to those people? And Satya Yuga was much more populated than Kali Yuga too. What to speak of the spiritual world? The material world is just a small portion, hardly a fourth of the spiritual world. This is all explained at the very beginning of Adi Lila. And then, after this is established, and if we read it carefully, and the first verse of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he offers his obeisances first line of the first verse, he's offering his obeisances to the gurus, to his Diksha Guru and his Shiksha Gurus. Because we cannot properly understand the scriptures without the guidance of those evam parampara praptam, of those who are actually in the lineage of pure unalloyed love, who have preserved the true essence of the teachings. In Gita, Krishna tells, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. If you want to know the truth, then we must approach gurus. Inquire submissively. Inquiring submissively means, I don't know. Sanatana Goswami is an eternal associate of Sri Krishna who has descended, Sri Radha, who has descended to this world. But when he's approaching Lord Chaitanya, he's saying, I don't know who I am. I don't know why I'm suffering. I don't know what the purpose of life is. Please instruct me. In Bhagavad Gita, at the beginning, Arjuna thought he knew. And Krishna just let him think he knows. But it's just a matter of time till you realize that what we know doesn't work. That's what happened with Arjuna. He knew so much. He was born and raised the son of Kunti. So many times Krishna tells Arjuna, Prita, Kunteya, O son of Kunti, which means a lot is expected of him. Because his mother was such a pure devotee of the Lord. His grandfather that he lived with for so long was the great Mahajan Bhishma. And Krishna was his best friend. He had everything. He knew so much. But it didn't work. Krishna wanted to use this example. He put Arjuna into a state of bewilderment so that Arjuna could teach all of us. That it's important that we, in a humble state, we inquire submissively with an eagerness to offer service. Offering service means applying what we hear in our life for the pleasure of our gurus. What gives pleasure to our gurus? When we're well-wishers to the devotees and to all living beings. So, with this understanding, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami teaches us we must offer respects to the Vaishnavas, to our Shiksha Gurus, to our Diksha Gurus. We must learn from them, and then in that way we understand who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who is Lord Krishna. And then he enters into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and how he appeared within this world. And even Lord Chaitanya's appearance in this world is so instructive. It was all about the mercy of Vaishnavas. Because throughout Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he would say, I have come here simply because Advaitacharya brought me here by his prayers and his compassion. For you and me, Advaitacharya was the leader of the Brahmin community. He was the greatest of scholars. He was a pure devotee. He's Sadashiva, the original Shiva, the greatest of all Vaishnavas. He's Mahavishnu, the source of the entire cosmic manifestation with all the universes within it. This is a very great personality. Shirodakshaya Vishnu is the Lord within every heart. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the Lord of every universe. But Karanodakshaya Vishnu Mahavishnu is the Lord, the creator, the maintainer, the destroyer of the entire creation. The cosmic manifestation with limitless universes. But yet, that personality is Sri Advaita. Is crying out of sympathy for you and me. And he's performing tapasya, he's fasting, offering Ganga, Jal, and Tulsi leaves with loud, loud prayers. Krishna, please come and deliver all these people of Kali Yuga. Only you can do it. And obviously he didn't want Krishna to come and give liberation. Because he could do that. He didn't want to just give people elevation to Vaikuntha
or any mystic cities. He wanted Krishna to come to give Vrindavan to the world. Krishna is praying for Krishna to come. Such a wonderful pastime. Krishna's taking the role of a devotee to pray to Krishna to come to take the role of a devotee. This is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And along with Advaita was Haridas Thakur, who was from a birth and a background which was considered untouchable by the society at the time. But he and Advaita, they were the best of friends. The highest leader of the entire Brahmin community with an outcast who was persecuted and discriminated against his whole life, who had to just live solitary in a cave. They were the best of friends. And together they would have kirtan. And all of their kirtans and all of their prayers were, Krishna, come and deliver all these people. And meanwhile, Srivas Thakur with his brothers, Sri Nidhi, Sri Patti, Sri Ram, they were chanting throughout the day and night in kirtan, Krishna, please come and deliver these people. They're talking about us. Sometimes we hear about deliver everybody, and there's an impersonal idea of everybody. We're conditioned to impersonalistic ways of thinking. Everyone is just like no one. If we think so much about everyone, we're not thinking about anyone. But that's not the way they prayed. When they're talking about, when they're praying for everyone, they're intimately, personally praying for everyone. You, me. That is their compassion. That is why they were fasting. And it was Krishna arranged in this way. That as his devotees for so many years were praying and crying and calling out for him to come to deliver the fallen souls, they didn't need deliverance. They were already pure devotees. They were already ecstatic love for Krishna. But still, even an ecstatic love for Krishna, you're suffering, seeing the suffering of others. Another wonderful contradiction. How could you be ecstatic and suffer at the same time? I'm not qualified to explain it, and none of us are qualified to understand it. It's only Krishna can give us the connection to that truth. But ecstasy is increased when we suffer in separation from Krishna or in compassion for other living beings. It's inseparable from ecstasy. In fact, it's a higher, deeper, more profound level of ecstasy to suffer. Hari Hari. So Mahaprabhu came. And he came during in the month of Palgun, during the lunar eclipse, when everyone was chanting Krishna's names. He personally arranged that lunar eclipse. Just so everyone would chant. So that from the cause of his coming was his devotees chanting. And he appeared when everyone was chanting. And then he was little Nimai. He appeared under a neem tree. So wonderful. The Supreme Absolute Truth.
He's named after a tree. Nimai. Because the neem tree is very auspicious, and inauspiciousness doesn't come near neem trees. So Sachimata gave birth to Nimai under a neem tree, and she named him Nimai. And little Nimai was so beautiful, little golden baby. And before he even said a word, before he learned to crawl, before in his little baby form, before he really learned, revealed he could do anything, he did what every baby does. He cried. Now, some of us have experienced during Srimad Bhagavatam class baby cries. And everyone looks at the mother. Usually, you know, I'm sometimes sitting up here watching when these things happen. People try to ignore the baby crying. But then when the baby keeps crying, devotees start looking at the mother. And then even I look at the mother. And the baby couldn't care less who we're looking at. But the mother cares. At least, hopefully she does. And then she's trying to get through all the audience and takes the little baby out, and the baby's... And babies could cry so loud. Oh, I have this experience. I hate to vent. But just very recently, I was in an airplane. And right behind me was a baby. I was flying from Calcutta to Mumbai. It's like a 3-hour flight, but it seemed like three millenniums. This baby was screaming nonstop. 95% of this flight screaming so loud. And the mothers and the fathers and I think the grandparents, I don't know who they were, but everyone was trying, they were trying to sing songs to them and they were trying to do every method, but nothing worked. And the baby was so tiny. And I was thinking, Krishna's creation. Every single person in that plane could hear the baby screaming. Now, without an amplification system, none of us could sing a kirtan in such a way that everybody could hear so clearly. You know, here we're big people with big vocal cords and audio boxes inside of us, and we could scream, but nothing could be as loud as that little baby screaming. It's this big. Just like in technology, I remember years ago, this Bengali company, Bose, they started making these little speakers that could be so loud. And we're thinking, you know, how they could put so much volume in something so small. Well, I was trying to be philosophical. Because it's literally right behind, and they were lifting him up and putting him practically right over my head and screaming. And it was, I think the whole plane was tortured. There was no earplugs or, what do they call it, noise cancellations that could protect anyone from that baby. Should I share with you how I tried to process it? I thought of the idea of paradukkha-dukkhi. That if we're suffering so much because of the scream of this baby, how much this baby must be suffering. Because then you started thinking, because the parents really couldn't care less about the sound. The parents, everybody else in the plane was thinking, this baby is ruining my peace of mind. It's making this a horrible flight. But the mother and father, they were just thinking, the baby's suffering so bad. How could we help the baby stop suffering? That's the difference between knowing and loving. That's the difference between trying to be peaceful in this world and happy in this world and compassion. That we're not thinking of just how it's affecting me. Thinking how it's affecting this little child. But it was really miraculous how something so small could be so loud. So back to the story. Nimai. He was a tiny baby, like that, just born. And he would cry. But his crying was pleasing to everyone's heart, but it was so pleasing that nobody could tolerate because they loved him. He attracted their love so much, it was not pleasing also. They couldn't bear that this little child is suffering. And the only thing that would resolve that was when everyone made a circle around Sachimata and Nimai and clapped their hands and loudly chanted Krishna's holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare.
Then Nimai would smile. He would illuminate the entire world with his smile. So before he did anything, he induced people to chant. And how did he induce people to chant? And it's in so many ways, this is the way Lord Chaitanya preached. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya said, you are my guru, please instruct me. He won his heart. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya listened to his words and became a great pure devotee of the Lord. Prakashananda Saraswati, Lord Chaitanya won his heart. When he was in South India, so many beautiful examples when he was traveling and preaching. People would just see him. He would win their hearts and they would receive his message and take the holy names of the Lord. So from his very infancy, he would win people's hearts by his glances, by his smiles, by his beauty. Then he would cry in such a way that they couldn't bear to see him suffer. And in this way, he got them all to chant the holy names. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, after telling about Lord Chaitanya's appearance in this world, his pastimes as a little baby, he described his younger pastimes where he became Nimai Pandit, a great scholar. He described his naughtiness, the naughtiness that he and his friends would be always be charming his relatives and all the Navadvip Vasis with. And then he describes Mahaprabhu's going to Gaya, taking initiation from Ishwarapuri, and returning to establish the Harinam Sankirtan. And so many beautiful leelas are described. Vijay Pandit, Chan Kazi, one whole year of having kirtan at Srivasangam, all night, every night. When devotees were tired and thirsty from kirtan all day, he would put a mango seed in the ground, and instantly a mango tree came, and within seconds it was filled with ripe mangoes with no skins and no seeds, and Lord Chaitanya would personally collect them and feed every devotee. And the culmination in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Vadi Leela is where Lord Chaitanya is going to leave his home to take sannyas. And the reasons why he's doing this. And that brings us to the Madhya Leela. And here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is about to give a summary. How does he begin? He begins by setting the mood of how a Vaishnav speaks and how a Vaishnav hears, how a Vaishnav gives and how a Vaishnav receives. By his example, he tells that Vrindavan Das Thakur has explained Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in his Sri Chaitanya Mangal or Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he praises Vrindavan Das Thakur's explanation. He says, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he is the supremely empowered, authorized teacher of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and precepts. And he said, it's not appropriate for me to repeat what he's saying. So whatever he has spoken, I'm only going to give a very brief synopsis. And whatever remnants he has left for me, whatever things he did not describe elaborately, I will elaborate only on that. Then he worships Vrindavan Das Thakur and said, it is on the order of Vrindavan Das Thakur that I am writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. With his holy lotus feet on top of my head, taking that dust. So in the heart of a Vaishnav, there's not a competition who's better. In one sense there is, but it's opposite of material. In Vaishnav, the competition is how to be less than the other. Not in our character or activities, but in how we're feeling ourselves qualified. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is glorifying Vrindavan Das Thakur. And I'm just taking a few of his remnants by his mercy. For his pleasure, I'm explaining. So in this way, he sets the mood again before Madhya Leela begins. Of how we are supposed to give and how we are supposed to receive. How is he giving? Simply as a humble instrument of the higher Vaishnavas. With no ego, with the humblest state of mind, I'm simply the instrument. And how are we receiving? In that same spirit. That I'm hungry for Krishna's mercy I don't have. Then we receive. And another wonderful spiritual contradiction is when we think we don't have, we could have. And when we think we have, we can't have. Hare Krishna. How is that possible? Vrindavan Das Thakur tells that Lord Chaitanya's Leela is like the limitless sky. And he said, I'm a bird. And I'm flying as high as I can go. In this way, I'm trying to describe what I can describe. But I can only describe an insignificant portion of what there is. And in the same spirit, Vrindavan, having Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he tells that Lord Chaitanya speaks to Rupa Goswami. And he said, the ocean of the mellows of love between Krishna and his devotees, the ocean of the mellows of bhakti, these truths, this bhakti tattva, it's like a limitless ocean that has no bottom and no shores. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am going to try to explain one drop from that ocean. But the power of that one drop is it can inundate, flood the entire universal creation. So if a drop has that power, what is the ocean? And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami tells, what can I say about Lord Chaitanya's Leela? But by the grace of Vrindavan Das Thakur, by the grace of Madan Mohan, by the grace of all the Vaishnavas who have asked me to do this, I will share with you what I have received from them. So in this way he sets the stage for our consciousness. Then he gives a brief summary of how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu orchestrated his pastimes in this world. For the first 24 years, he lived at home with Sachimata, with his devotees like Srivas, in Navadvip Dham. He performed his childhood pastimes. He performed his Sankirtan pastimes. And then at the end of his 24th year in this world, in the month of Magh, he left home to become a sannyasi. Why? This is described quite elaborately by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He took sannyas to be an example in the role of a devotee, of completely be absorbed, the body, the mind, the heart, the soul, in remembering Krishna and serving Krishna. The danda, the tri danda, is one's actions, one's words, one's thoughts, and one's life are completely absorbed, dedicated for the pleasure of Krishna. And he also took sannyas for the purpose of being free of every other obligation so that he could reach out to give Krishna consciousness to those who escaped his mercy when he was in the household ashram. Because in those days, people respected sannyasis. And even if they just did it out of etiquette or tradition, if they bowed down to him, they would get Krishna Prema. He was so generous. Just do that much. Just bow down. I'll give you Krishna Prema. Lord Chaitanya was so merciful. Take the holy names. And when he took sannyas, he was initially from Katwa, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. But Nityananda Prabhu understood his heart and led him to Shantipur, where he met with his devotees. And his mother, Sachimata, appealed to him in her motherly love. With such an ecstatically loving, broken heart, seeing her beautiful child, his long hair cut, and his beautiful hair, and his beautiful garments shed. Please go to Puri and live. Because Vrindavan is so far away, I'll never hear about you. I'll never get messages from you. But the same Krishna of Vrindavan is living in Puri as Jagannath. So to honor the love of his mother and the devotees, he went to Puri. This is the beginning of the Madhya Leela. And then for 6 years, the whole Madhya Leela, the last 24 years of Lord Chaitanya's life, is called the Shesha Leela. And that Shesha Leela is divided into parts. The first 6 years of Lord Chaitanya after sannyas, he went from Katwa to Shantipur to Puri, and then he decided to travel to South India, all the way down to Setu Banda and up the western coast. And that was for 2 years. And then he came back to Puri, and he invited all his devotees from Bengal, come for Rath Yatra. And they came, and for 4 months every year, Lord Chaitanya and his devotees would chant and dance and have Hari Katan, Krishna Kirtan, and enjoy prasad together and be with each other. And it describes by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that when they would be together, they would be so happy. For 4 months every year, they put everything else aside just to be together with Lord Chaitanya. And for the rest of the year, when they would return to their homes or their places of seva, they would feel intense separation from being among all the Vaishnavas. This is something it's very important to cultivate in our communities, how the devotees, how they just loved to be together, to hear about Krishna, to chant Krishna's holy names and glories and Lord, in the presence of the Lord. The Lord's greatest happiness to be with his devotees, and the great devotees' greatest happiness is to be with each other. And with each other, they could truly feel the presence of the Lord. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Bengal. And so many wonderful leelas took place there. When he went to Kuliagram, millions of people were coming, all the people who offended him, all the people who didn't understand him. Now he came as a sannyasi, and he gave them all ecstatic love for Krishna. Even the offenders of Vaishnavas, they begged forgiveness from Vaishnavas, they fell at the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord gave them all prema. Then he returned to Puri. And then he went on his historical journey to Vrindavan through the Jharikhanda forest, where he gave ecstatic prema to tigers and snakes and deers. And the symptom that they were receiving his mercy is how they dealt with one another. Because people have different natures. So sometimes we think, how could I tolerate somebody with such a different nature? Well, the tigers and the deers have different nature. Socially, personally, they're worst enemies. One, as soon as they see a As soon as a tiger sees a deer, its only desire is to kill and eat her. Hare Krishna. And as soon as a deer sees a tiger, she becomes frantically afraid and runs away because she knows she's going to be killed and eaten. But after Lord Chaitanya gave them Krishna consciousness, the tigers and deers were embracing and with no romantic state of mind, they kissed each other. It was completely a spiritual reciprocation. And even the snakes were dancing in ecstasy. It doesn't say it, but we can understand after that the snakes never even bit anyone after that. They were completely happy. Maybe they became vegetarians. And offered some herbs to Krishna. They became fully aware, conscious devotees. And even the trees and the plants and the shrubs and the bushes, even the thorn bushes became pure devotees. That was Lord Chaitanya's influence. Then he wandered in great happiness to the 12 forests of Vrindavan. And ultimately he returned back to Puri. On his way back, he met Rupa Goswami at Prayag and Sanatan Goswami at Varanasi. And at the end of the teachings of Sanatan Goswami, the Madhyalila ends. Because that's when he returned to Puri, where he never left Puri again after that. For the last 18 years of his life, he simply remained in Puri, the abode of Jagannath. And that is called the Antyalila. And during that time, for every Chaturmasya, his devotees would come from various parts of Orissa and Bengal and some from Vrindavan. They would come to be with Lord Chaitanya, to be with each other for those 4 months. And in the heart of it, they would celebrate Rath Yatra together. And herein, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes how there were 3 devotees: Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Haridas Thakur. To not create unnecessary social disturbance, they never attempted to enter Jagannath's temple. Because there was a tradition, it's still there, where people who are not of the Hindu faith, in a good status, they cannot enter the temple. So all the devotees, every day with Lord Chaitanya, early morning, would go into Jagannath's temple and have kirtans for hours and hours, and see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic loves absorbing the beautiful darshan of Jagannath. Who could resist that? Waking up in the morning, taking bath in the sea, and with Lord Chaitanya entering Jagannath's temple, seeing Mahaprabhu having his darshan, and then Mahaprabhu inducing kirtan and chanting and dancing together for hours and hours, and after the upala bhog offering, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would leave the temple. But Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Haridas Thakur, because Haridas was born in an untouchable family, and Rupa and Sanatan lost their status as Hindus because of their posts of serving malachas,
they never attempted. They did not want to create unnecessary disturbance. And in purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the devotees in Krishna consciousness movement, if they're not welcomed in some temples in India, they are not unhappy. They're happy being with Krishna by chanting his holy names.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And Lord Chaitanya, every day after this Upala Bhog offering, he would receive Jagannath's prasad and come to the homes of Haridas and Rupa or Sanatan, because they lived together at Siddha Bakula. And Lord Chaitanya would then spend several hours with them, giving them his prasad, giving them his association, speaking Krishna. And the last 12 years of Lord Chaitanya's life in this world, Kaviraj Goswami describes, he mainly was with Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai, completely absorbed in the ecstatic viraha bhava of feelings of separation from Krishna. And he tells that just as when Krishna left Vrindavan for Uddhava, he left Vrindavan for Mathura, Krishna sent Uddhava back with a message. And Srimati Radharani, when she saw Uddhava, and in her remembrance of Krishna and separation, she began to speak Unmada, which is the verses we're talking about today. She was speaking very, like she was mad. In her love, in her ecstasy, in her feelings, she was speaking to a bumblebee. She was speaking to Krishna by addressing the bumblebee as Krishna's messenger. And what she was saying didn't make any sense from a logical, material perspective. But Uddhava understood, this is the highest, deepest love. I have no love compared to her. Nobody does. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for those last 12 years, he was practically constantly absorbed in that mood of Srimati Radharani and those feelings of separation from Krishna. And the culmination, again, was in Gambira and expressed during the Rath Yatra. In today's verse, Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go every day and see Lord Jagannath along with his sister Subhadra and brother Balaram, and he would be praying in separation to see Krishna in Vrindavan. And Rath Yatra was the time when Krishna's coming back to Vrindavan in the form of Gundicha. And Mahaprabhu revealed the ecstasies of Sri Radha, the ecstasies of the supreme abode of all love in her feelings of separation. And this chapter is a brief explanation that when Sri Radharani and gopis, after so many years of separation from Krishna, Kaviraj Goswami tells something that's so profound, that's so inconceivable. He said, from the moment Krishna left Vrindavan with Akrura for Mathura, the gopis cried for the rest of their lives. Can anyone imagine such a state?
crying for the rest of your life. And yet the most liberated, blissful people like Sukadeva Goswami, like Shiva, like Uddhava, the greatest sannyasis, like Rupa and Sanatan, they're praying for the mercy of the gopis. So now the gopis are crying for their whole lives in separation from Krishna. And Krishna revealed later, and revealed throughout, that this was the highest revelation of spiritual bliss, this virahavav, this love and separation. Because in that love and separation, there's such a all-consuming remembrance of Krishna, and Krishna is personally present within the heart, reciprocating with that absorbed remembrance. So in separation, there's the deepest union. He radhe braja deva kecha lalite hinanda shuno kudaha. Srila Prabhupada tells us that the six Goswamis, being empowered by Lord Chaitanya to give his mission to the world, they taught us to cultivate these feelings of separation from Krishna, which is the state of complete humility. Trinarapi sunice na taror ivasi hishnuna hamani namana dena kirtaniya sadhari. To be humble like more than blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, to offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. The total encapsulated revelation of these verses is in the gopis' feelings of separation from Krishna. And the deepest reciprocation of love between the soul and Krishna is manifesting in that rasa. And that was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gambira. And when he would come out for the Rath Yatra, it was the time when now we're bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. After years of being away from each other physically, Krishna invited Vrijavasis to Vrindavan, to Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse. Srila Prabhupada is explaining Krishna's performing a yajna at Kurukshetra. And he's inviting Vrijavasis, please come and join the yajna. The Vrijavasis couldn't care less about the yajna. They came to be with Krishna. Any yajna is a good excuse. Anything. So their anticipation, their longing was culminating as they were traveling to Kurukshetra. They're walking, they're riding on ox carts. And when they finally arrive there, after years, with their eyes, they're seeing Krishna. They could never forget Krishna in their hearts. In fact, when Krishna was away from gopis and gopas, they would say that we want to forget Krishna, but we can't. At every moment we're seeing Krishna everywhere, in every cloud, in every leaf, in every tree, in every grain of dust in Vrindavan, and every cow, and each other, in our hearts, in every sound, we only remember Krishna. And that remembrance is making the fire of separation even blaze more. So only if we can forget Krishna. But it's impossible to forget Krishna. here we are in this world struggling to try to remember Krishna. And we're always getting distracted, at least some of us. And here's the gopis, they're struggling to forget Krishna, but they can't for even a moment. Day or night, they're crying in love for Krishna. And now they're going to see him again. And they see him. But he's in the opulence of Dwarka. In the field of Kurukshetra, he's revealing the opulence of Dwarka Dham. He's dressed in the royal garments of the Yadu dynasty. They don't want to see a big, beautiful royal Yadu crown. They want to see a peacock feather. They don't want to see royal armor and jewels. They want to see him dressed as a cowherd boy. And there's so many crowds of people. And who are the people? The most majestic warriors. The most aristocratic queens. Princes. People are riding on elephants with decorated chariots and horses. How could we exchange our love with Krishna in this atmosphere? We want to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. In Kurukshetra, Krishna wasn't holding his flute. They wanted him to play his flute. Why? This is the heart of the subject for us to understand that Krishnadas Kaviraj and Srila Prabhupada is so much amplifying. They cared nothing about their own happiness or distress. They understood this is what makes Krishna most happy. Krishna's greatest happiness is in Vrindavan. So when Lord Chaitanya, he was in this mood of Sri Radha and Gopis bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. And this is the Rath Yatra. And it was this Rath Yatra that Srila Prabhupada brought to the whole world. And of all the Rath Yatras, the one that Srila Prabhupada so nicely writes about in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is London. He established Rath Yatra in San Francisco, and he had Rath Yatras in Los Angeles and in New York and in so many places all over the world, Philadelphia and Chicago, and all these are glorious, supremely glorious manifestations of his love and compassion. But we can be very humbly proud. That's another contradiction. We could be proud, limitlessly proud and humble at the same time. Because our pride is in the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of other devotees. But being proud of their mercy and their glory makes us more and more humble. It's not an arrogance. It's an appreciation and a submission for the greatness of what we're given. Srila Prabhupada writes in the chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the verses, Lord Jagannath's chariot appeared to be like Mount Sumeru. And Prabhupada said, recently in London, the newspaper, the Guardian, I think it's called the Guardian, he said they compared the Rath Yatra, Jagannath's chariot, to be challenging the Nelson Monument in Trafalgar Square. just like the residents of Puri compared to Mount Sumeru. So Srila Prabhupada, he took the most esoteric, deepest pastimes of the heart of love and presented it to the world to give us and to give all living beings the opportunity to be to an entrance into that love through associating with devotees, through taking prasad, through hearing the holy names, through participating in kirtan, through hearing Harikatha, by receiving Srila Prabhupada's books, transcendental literatures. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, up until this verse that we have come to today, he has described some of these, he has described all of these things that we are just very, very briefly trying to touch upon. And he describes that during Mahaprabhu's Leela in Puri, he sent Nityananda Prabhu out of Puri to Bengal to spread bhakti. He sent Rupa and Sanatan out of Puri, where he was, to Vrindavan, to write books to spread bhakti. Through their example, through their writings. And I'm going to end with this very updated Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Are you still awake? If not, please wake up. Because it's worth to hear this little story. Hare Krishna. How to tell a big story in a little way. I'll try. Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He, out of his deep compassion and love for all living beings, because that's the love of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave his life and soul to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. Beyond the shores of any geographical limitations, to everyone. And he prayed for a ray of Vishnu. He prayed for an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya to descend into this world to help. And an answer to his prayers, in Jagannath Puri, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, appeared. Was given the name then Bimala Prasad. And taking the mission of Bhakti Vinod Thakur in his heart and soul, the mission of Lord Chaitanya to spread the holy names and pure devotional service beyond sectarian considerations to the whole world, Prema Bhakti. He established his mission. He started in Mayapur, and he just had a couple followers, and those followers and him decided that they would take Lord Chaitanya's mission to Kolkata, which at that time was the capital of the British Empire in India. It was the most important city in all of India. For the British. It's so nice to talk about that here in London. The British declared India to be the crown jewel of the whole British Empire. And they, they had America at one time, and Australia, and so much of Africa, and so much of the Middle East was the British Empire, but India was the crown jewel. And Calcutta was the crown jewel of India. but it was a very materialistic place. So at that time when they left Mayapur, they had no resources, they had practically no money, nothing. There was just a few of them, and they established the first Gaudiya Math outside of Mayapur. The address was 1 Ultadunga Junction Road. They named it Bhakti Vinod Asana. And most all of the leaders of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's movement, they joined there. It's a small house. Not so small, but pretty small. And there's a stairway to go upstairs. On the bottom, there were the deities of Sri Sri Radha Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that were installed. And there was a little prasadam area and a little place where the brahmacharis would live, and sannyasis. Then you go up some stairs, and there's a small room where Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it was his bhajan kutir and his residence, and outside his room was a rooftop. And every night he would speak on that rooftop. And that's where all the devotees at that time would hear his Harikatha. That's where their hearts were transformed. And if you go there today, it's a very run-down neighborhood. And that building's extremely run-down. It's almost crumbling. But Srila Prabhupada tells the story of how his friend Narendra said, please come and hear a sadhu. And Prabhupada then Abhay Charan, he said, I've heard so many sadhus, I'm not so interested. At that time, he was a very, very dedicated follower of Gandhi. He said, but my friend forcibly dragged me to go to see this sadhu. And you go up the stairs. And there Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sitting on the rooftop, preaching from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Abhay Charan bows down, along with his friend, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. First words, you are an intelligent young man, you should take the message of Lord Chaitanya and bring it to the whole world in the English language. And it was in that spot that Srila Prabhupada explained his reservations. And obviously it was a very wonderful conversation. And Srila Prabhupada proudly would tell us so many years later, he said, I am very happy to tell you I was defeated by my Guru Maharaj. And it was at that moment that he accepted his Guru. It was that moment that the seed was planted in his heart to take this message all over the world. It was the seed of the whole ISKCON movement. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur lived there at Ultadunga for about 10 years. And then one of his disciples built a beautiful temple at Bagh Bazar. And they had a procession to take the deities to Bagh Bazar. And then Ultadunga Junction Road, that was just given for, I think they were just renting it in the first place. They were just renting that place, and then they just left it, and then whoever owned the building started renting it to families. And those families have lived there since 1930. And they would never allow devotees to go up the stairs to see the roof. Well, as of 2 weeks ago, ISKCON now is proprietor of 3/4 of the building at Ultadunga Junction Road, including the entire rooftop. Yeah! and the stairs that go up to the rooftop. And I'm telling you this because I was just there on that rooftop, and it's very special. By Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada's mercy, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's mercy, we now ISKCON, all of us could go there and feel the presence of that historical holy place that is so sacred to each and every one of us. From that seed, one of the great branches of that seed and fruits is Bhaktivedanta Manor. Srila Prabhupada went to New York, San Francisco, Montreal, and then he came to London. Personally performed the Abhishek to bathe Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda in this temple room, had his devotees in his presence personally place them on this altar. There were tears of ecstasy in his eyes and ecstatic love and compassion in his heart. He danced in this temple room in the presence of Radha Gokulananda to give us what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to give to the world. Thank you very much.